chapter number 4. I won't preach too very long this morning, but I will preach till I get done. Amen?
Amen.
Joshua chapter number 4. Say amen when you get there.
Amen.
That wasn't 100% participation. We'll wait a minute. Joshua chapter number 4. Y'all glad you're saved? Say amen.
Amen.
Y'all find Joshua 4?
Amen.
Let me swallow this cough drop and we'll read the Bible. Look with me at verse number 1. The Bible said it came to pass when all the people were clean, passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe, a man, and command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. And Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe of man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God in the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Let's pray. Fathers, we come to you again this morning. God, we thank you for a great day. Thank you for the great singing this morning. Lord, thank you for the liberty, God, and the sweet presence of the Holy Spirit. Lord God, I pray you'd bless the reading of your word this morning. Touch us and use us to be a help to somebody. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. The Bible said as they passed over Jordan, they're passing out of the wilderness, if you will, into the promised land. And the story tells us that when the priest's feet stood firm in the river Jordan, that God cut the water off and they walked across on dry land. Boy, isn't that amazing? I mean, that stuff's amazing. But I'll be honest with you, there's more amazing stuff than that happened in my life. Amen? There's more amazing. All my sins are gone. Somebody ought to shout and get happy right there. All my sins are gone. I'm as close to hell right now as I'll ever get. Amen. I'm saved by the blood. That's a big deal. Amen. Anyway, he said, when you get across on the other side, get every man, choose a man out of every tribe, 12 tribes. He said, get every one of you a stone on your shoulder and stack them things up, and they shall be for a memorial. In other words, when people come along down the road, your kids are going to say, Daddy, what is this pile of rocks for? He said, and when they ask that question, you'll tell them, hey, God cut the river off, and we walked across. This is to remember what God has done in our lives. I'm afraid we are so quick to forget what God has done in our lives. We bellyache and mumble and groan and complain, but every one of us would have to testify and say that God has been good. Amen. We're sucking in and blowing out. We're standing horizontal, not laying vertical. Amen. Hey, boy, bless God, we ought to praise the Lord. We're standing vertical, not laying horizontal. I got that backwards. But thank God we're alive. Amen. And we'll have a brand new day tomorrow, Lord willing. But we ought not to forget the goodness of the Lord. Tomorrow, we will celebrate and remember the lives of men and women who paid the ultimate sacrifice in America for our freedom. Amen. We ought not to forget that. I'm afraid some of those World War II veterans, if they could come and look at America today, it might turn their stomach. I wonder if they would say, oh, we wasted our time. I wonder if those Revolutionary War soldiers could stand before us today and maybe just watch 30 minutes of the local news. I wonder what they would think. I remember several years ago, my wife and I were in Washington, D.C., and we went over into Virginia. We've done this every year for years. We go to Mount Vernon, the home place of George and Martha Washington. Anybody ever been there? Yeah, quite a few. That's something to see. And we always go in December, so it's Christmas time and it's festive and all that. But a couple of years ago, we were there, and we were celebrating our anniversary, and as we were coming out, one of the little guest lodging houses there on the property, I noticed a crowd kind of gathered around, and there was a lady inside, and she was all dressed up like Martha Washington. And she was sitting there in a big rocking chair, and she was telling stories about her and George Washington and the founding forefathers. And when she got done, she opened the floor for questions and answers. And there's a couple of kids asked some questions, and then a couple of adults asked some questions, and I'm itching to ask some questions. I said, "Miss Washington, I said, was it true that President Washington got up every day before daylight and read his Bible for an hour?" She said, "Oh, yes, that is very true. He would not begin a day without spending time with God." That's what she said. He would spend an hour in reading of the Word of God, and then he would spend some time in prayer before going about his duties. And I said, "Miss Washington, I have another question." I said, "If he were here today, what do you think he would think of America?" She hem-hawed and skirted around that question, because she could not answer it in public honestly. Because he would not be pleased. Those men, those women, we have been to Arlington Cemetery. We have been to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. I mean, boy, those crosses stand across that place. I mean, boy, they're in a perfect line. Every one of them represents somebody who died that you and I might know the freedom to worship God as we choose in this country. Tomorrow shouldn't just be a picnic. It shouldn't just be a day at a lake. It shouldn't just be a grilling a hot dog on the grill or going swimming somewhere. Hey, we ought to really stop somewhere tomorrow and say, "Lord, thank you for the freedom I have as an American citizen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for the freedom that I have as a Christian." Amen. Man, we ought to thank God for it. Sometimes I'm afraid if we abuse our liberties too much, they can be taken away. And we ought not to take the liberty that we have for granted. Amen. Amen. I'm going to tell you about some missionaries tonight. I'm going to tell you about some pastors tonight over in northern India who are preaching this morning not from a Bible, because it's illegal. All they've got is a gospel tract with portions of Scripture. Amen. They pastor those churches. Here we stand. There's probably Brother William, would you say, 175, 200, 250 Bibles probably on this property this morning. There's probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 400 people here on the property today. I'd say there's probably 300 Bibles, wouldn't you? Yeah. Amen. We've got them in every closet and every drawer. If I were to go into my study, if somebody said, "How many Bibles do you have?" I'll tell you how many I have. I have so many I don't know. I couldn't tell you how many Bibles I have. But yet over there in a foreign mission field somewhere, there's a little Mongolian fellow standing there this morning, and all he has is a portion of the Word of God on a gospel tract. And he's preaching and seeing thousands of people saved while we have the Word of God laying before. Boy, this is going in a different direction. While we have the Word of God available to us every single day, hey, we still have the liberty to preach and teach the Word of God. Amen. Amen. Isn't that a blessing? Memorials. I'm going to preach to you about memorials just for a minute this morning. My wife and I, our country is full of memorials. You go to Washington, D.C., it's this memorial, the Jefferson Memorial, the Lincoln Memorial, the Vietnam Memorial, the Korean War Memorial. And I love to go to all those memorials. My favorite is the Vietnam Memorial, the wall. 300, Brother Carlos, and 58,000, I believe. 358,000 names. 58,000. Okay, I'm sorry. There's no three there. 58. I'm a pastor, but that's evangelistically speaking. Amen. 58,000 names on that wall. It never fails. I've been to it many times. Every time I go, Brother Carlos, there'll be somebody in the neighborhood of your age. And he'll go over there and he'll open. It looks like phone books, Brother Freddie, but it's a directory of where, of what portion of the wall where somebody's name is. And it never fails. You'll see somebody over there at those directories, and they'll look and they'll find a name. Then they'll walk over to the wall, and they'll put their hands on that name. And they'll stand there and shed tears. As far as I know, I don't know any name on that wall. But I appreciate what every one of them stood for. Amen. 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 We ought to be thankful. Everywhere we look, we were in Philadelphia, three or four weeks ago, my wife and I were, Brother Dominic Pinichetti at the Bethel Baptist Church in downtown South Philly. That's another country. Amen. Y'all think Atlanta's bad? You could take them boys out of Little Five Points, drop them off in South Philly, they'd run. Amen. I'm telling you, it's a bad, bad neighborhood. But we went into downtown Philly and saw the Liberty Bell and Independence Hall where the Declaration was signed. But I'm telling you, I stood in front of that bell and what it stands for. Did you know that bell, Leviticus, I forgot what it was, but part of the Levitical law is inscribed on that bell. I stood there and looked at that bell, and I thought about what that thing stood for. I wanted to climb over that rope, Brother Freddie. I wanted to ring that bell so bad. I wanted to grab that dong and say, bang, bang, bang. She's still ringing, bless God. There's still liberty, and there's still freedom in America. Everywhere you look, statues. My wife would say, who is that? I said, I don't know, some bronze dude. I don't know who. Everywhere you'd look, there'd be statues of somebody. That's because somebody wanted their lives remembered. Now, I don't know about you, but I'd like for my life to be remembered. And by the way, it will. Your life will be remembered regardless of how you live it. It'll be remembered for good, or it'll be remembered for bad. Right down the street here, about 3 miles on your left, if you're going toward Dallas on Highway 61, you'll see a cemetery. It's Melrose Cemetery. I've got many, many friends and family buried in that cemetery. And I walk through that cemetery, there's one mother that says, Jim Hart. That was my grandfather. That was Granny Faye's husband. As I stand at the marker at his grave, boy, many things come to my mind. I remember his life. I remember what a wonderful grandfather he was. I remember every year how at Christmas he wiped out Lionel Play World. They don't have that anymore. It's a toy store, kind of like Toys R Us, okay? That's what we had back in the 70s, all right? He would wipe out. I mean, boy, just load us down with gifts. I look at that grave marker, and I think about taking a trip down, I believe it's Mobile, Alabama, where he took me as a little boy, and we went to the Space Center. Is that where it's at? Is it in Mobile? We went to the Space Center. Huntsville, Alabama, and I got to go in a rocket ship, and I remember that. I remember Granddaddy picking me up, and he'd let me stand up in the seat of his truck. That was before the communist seatbelt law, and he let me stand up in the seat of his truck, and he took me to the airport. That was before the TSA, and you could go all the way to the gate, and they'd let you get on the airplane and go in the cockpit and meet the pilot and get a little pair of wings. I remember that, and I look at that stone. I look at that marker, and I remember what an impact he had on my life. Not very far from there, there's one that says Gail Weldon. That was my mama's little sister and my aunt. And I was the greatest thing that ever walked on the face of this earth, according to her. Tanner, I know she loved you, but she loved me better. When I was born, she was a teenager, and she had an old blue Chevy Nova. And she'd come to Mama's house, and she'd get me and take me to the store and buy me those wax lips. Anybody remember that? Kids, y'all don't even know. Them pink cigars, them bubblegum cigars, I'd get them. I'd pretend like I was smoking for a little while, and then I couldn't smoke but so long. You had to put the whole thing in your mouth and chew it. Y'all remember them? Y'all remember them bubblegum cigarettes? They really smoked. Y'all remember that? Wasn't that pitiful? We training kids to smoke. Amen. But I stand at her grave and I think about my Aunt Gail. She was more than an aunt, she was my friend. I could tell her stuff I couldn't tell Mama. And I'd tell her all my problems. Boy, and she loved me and she helped me. I walk across that graveyard a little bit further and there's one that says, J. L. Bice. And I stand at that stone and I think about the man who led me to Christ. And I think about what his life stood for, Brother Stacy, and his son here this morning. I stood there just a few weeks ago and just wept
rejoicing over the memories. Brother Jay probably done some bad things in his lifetime. Matter of fact, I know he did. But all the good that he did overshadowed any of the bad. I was standing there looking at his grave marker the other day, and it's beautiful, by the way. And I was standing there looking at it, and I forgot the date, but it gives the date that he's born and the date that he died. And in between that, there's a dash. I heard a preacher, I believe here one time, years ago, preach on the dash. The dash. What happens between those two dates is what people remember the most.
Amen.
If you live many years, not many will remember the birth date. And nothing but that death date is a bad memory. It's what's in between. As they come around and look at your grave marker one day, as your children come by. I love to go into old cemeteries. When we trail ride our horses over in the, not the Braswell Mountains, but the, I don't know what you call them, over in Hussey Town over there. We ride all back through that management area. And, oh, you're not supposed to do that. So we ride on private land. I'm sorry. We ride on private land. But we got to riding through the woods up there one day, and we found an old home place. And there's a grave marker in that home place. And it's 18-something. That's all you can make out barely is the date. But I love to look at those old stones, and I love to wonder what their lives were like and what it was like to live back then and farm that land. And I could just picture all that in my mind as I stood there at that old gravestone. But I wonder, as we stood at your gravestone this morning, what would your life, what would they remember you for? I would love for one day, if I die before my wife, and I pray that I do, or I really pray we go in the rapture together. But as my wife comes around my gravestone, I would love more than anything. I would rather be remembered better than I had great power, or made a lot of money, or was a great success in life. I tell you, one of the most important things for me would be my wife to come by that gravestone and say, I'll tell you what that dash stood for. That dash stood for a husband that loved his wife and was faithful and cared for her. Hey, I want to be remembered as a godly husband. Amen. I want to be remembered as a man who loved his wife. Hey, men, we all have a shot at that. Once you're gone, it's too late. Once you're gone, it's too late. I was standing at the head of a casket up here at Jones Wynn's funeral home, and I'd tell you the man's name, but many people wouldn't know him. I was standing at the head of this man's casket, and somebody in his family walked by and mumbled under their breath, "That's the meanest blankety blank I ever knew." That's all they could remember. And I thought, Lord, as I leave this world, I don't want to be remembered for being mean. I don't want to be remembered for being a cheat or a liar or a con. I want to be remembered as a good man. But whatever is between those dates, November the 13th, 1964, till whatever, however long I live, I want that dash to stand for something in my life. And we have an opportunity. Thank God there's a God who forgives. There's a God who grants mercy. There's a God who gives grace to those who ask for it. Hey, we can start it all over right here this morning and start piling up rocks that one day when the kids come by and say, "Mama, tell me about Daddy. Tell me how Daddy lived. Tell me about Daddy's life." Oh, to God be the glory if it's a good story. Amen. I want my life to be a good story. Memorial. I remember back in the old days, they used some churches, they would name them such and such Memorial Baptist Church. And they would build that church in memorial of somebody who had died, who had made an impact in their life. Now, I'm not really against that. I'm not really for it. I would rather the church just point to Jesus. Amen. But I do believe in giving honor to whom honor is due. Amen. I know a church, I don't know if they still do it or not, Brother Warren, where you used to go years ago, they had a deacon there, and they had that deacon, whatever his name was such and such day. Say it was Bob Logue. It was Bob Logue Day, and they give honor to that guy. Hey, man, I'm not saying that's what we ought to shoot for, but our lives ought to stand for something that is so much that it made an impact, number one, on our family. Amen. You know, nobody knows you like your family does. Amen. Amen. I remember a little boy in school one time. He was like in the first or second grade, Brother William, and a little girl kicked him on the playground, kicked him right in the ankle. And he set into cussing her. I mean, second grader. I'm talking about vulgar. I'm not talking about just the little cuss word. I'm talking about big cuss word. They brought him to my office. I believe it was Miss Linda. Somebody brought him to my office and said, this boy's got to have a patent. And I said, what for? Well, he cussed. I said, what did he say? I can't tell you. She wouldn't even repeat it, so they wrote it down. I told the teacher going back to class I'd handle the little boy. I said, now, I'm not going to paddle you. I said, but I want to know why you called that little girl what you called her. He said, it's what daddy calls mama when he gets mad. As a courtesy, before we would paddle, we would always call the parent. So I called daddy at his job. I said, I got your boy in here in the office and he's fixing to get a couple of licks. Well, what'd he do? I said, well, he cussed a little girl on the playground. What'd he call her? And I told him. He said, oh my, I don't know where he heard something like that. I said, well, he just told me that's what you call mama when you get mad. Hello, are you there? Silence, dead silence. I said, so now let me ask you a question. Do you want the licks or you want me to give them to him? All the little boy was doing was repeating what his daddy said. Are y'all listening to me? Hey, we're making an impact on the lives of our children, whether we realize it or not. Ladies, we're impacting the lives of our daughters, whether we're realizing it or not. I want to leave the right impact. I want that dash to stand for something. First of all, I want to be remembered as a family man. What good would it be? I know preachers personally, and I love them with all my heart. They have spent their lives serving everybody else, visiting everybody else, spending time with everybody else, and let their family go to hell in a handbag. I would rather be remembered as a good family man than I had a good preacher. Amen. That family and my relationship with God comes before anything else. That's right. That priority list is God, family, then the ministry. Yeah. Amen. Amen. I'm sorry, but you're not on top of the list. Amen. Right. Amen. My wife comes before you. Amen. And my God before her. Yeah. Amen. Amen. That's the way it ought to be. I want to be remembered as a good family man. I'd like to be remembered as a good pastor. I'd like for somebody to come by and say, boy, I tell you what, Brother Eddie may not have been the best preacher in the world, but he loved us. He loved us no matter what, no matter what our situation or what we've done, how bad we messed up. He still loved us anyway. I want to be remembered that way. And I'll be honest with you, I'd like to be remembered like Brother Jay is this morning. I'd like for Jason to be able to come by my casket and say, that man led me to Christ. That'd be a great honor to me. I'd like to be remembered as somebody who kept others out of hell. The life we live is the memorial we're building. The life we live. I have looked at some families and thought, and this is bad, but I've looked at some families, honestly, Brother Freddie, and thought, you know, if that guy were to die, they'd be a whole lot better off. Well, it got quiet. If her husband were to die, they'd be a whole lot better off. Ladies who have to live in a home with an abusive husband who gets drunk and takes all his anger out on his wife. Amen. You hit your wife, sir, you are a coward. Amen. You get drunk, want to hit somebody, go to town, find a man. Yeah. That's free of charge. I just throwed that in there. I've heard stories about kids. They hear daddy coming home, they run hide. Run hide. I don't want my family to ever think we'd be better off if daddy had just died. Amen. The life we live is the memorial we build. We are building it every single day. I heard a preacher, Brother Harold Rochester, not a preacher, but the Rochester family, Brother Harold, they sing that song about the old rock altar. Brother Harold, the other night in Ohio, he was telling about when he was a boy, how him and his dad, they'd go every afternoon, they'd stop and they'd pick up a rock in the dirt road, and they'd carry it off down in the woods, and that rock represented the prayer they prayed that day. He said, and that rock altar just grew and grew and grew, and it was a great big mountain of rocks that they had prayed over the years. Boy, wouldn't you much rather be remembered as a daddy who had an altar, who prayed with his son, who took his family to church? Amen. That's the opportunity God has given us. Amen. The life we live is the memorial we build. Now let me tell you quickly this morning what it takes to leave behind a godly memorial. A godly memorial. You won't do that by mistake. You won't do that by chance. Well, so-and-so didn't try, but buddy, he sure lived a good life. No, sir. It doesn't happen by accident. It takes dedication. That's work. If you're going to do right and live right, you got to work at it. You don't have to work at sin. That comes naturally. Are you listening to me? You don't have to work at sin. It comes naturally. You can sin without trying. You can sin without planning. You can sin without thinking about it. Somebody help me right there. Amen. If I want to sin, all I got to do is get in my truck and start down the road. Amen. I went to Hiram yesterday. On Saturday. I went in Sam's Club yesterday. On Saturday. How stupid is it to go into Sam's Club after one thing? Because everybody checking out has a truckload. I sin. Y'all listen to me? You would have too if you'd have been there. Only thing good about Sam's on Saturday is the free food. Amen. Hey, you ain't got to eat lunch. Just go to Sam's. Walk to all them little things. They got pizza over here. They got crackers with something on them over here. I ate all kind of stuff. Amen. Then I got to the end, was choking to death, and they was giving away samples of some kind of water. I said, hallelujah, I'll take four. Amen. Wash down all this other free stuff. You ain't got to try to sin. You don't. It comes naturally. You are naturally born a sinner. Amen. But if you're going to do right, you're going to have to plan to do right. Are you listening to me? If you're going to live right, you're going to live holy, you're going to have to plan for it. And then, not just plan for it, you're going to have to work at it. Amen. How many of you have to work at it? I do. It don't come naturally. Amen. If I'm going to be nice, I have to work at it. My wife got a ring for her birthday, and they had to order it, and it just came in yesterday. That's why I was at Sam's. And the little lady who was helping me didn't normally work in jewelry. The lady who worked in jewelry was on break. And she reached into the safe, and she pulled it out, and I saw it was in a baggie, like a little miniature sandwich bag, Ziploc bag, about that big. And she's getting it out in the paperwork and all that. I said, ma'am, does it come with a box? You know, I wanted to go home and go, whoa, you know. I wanted to go home and have that whoa effect, you know what I'm saying? I was looking at building up some points there. And boy, she got testy with me. She said, I ain't done yet, I'm going to take care of you. I said, whoa, easy, gal, easy. Amen. I felt it in here. I had to work at it. And I really didn't work at it because I just wanted to do right. I wanted a box. What? I needed that. And I knew that lady had the power to give me a box or bring it home in a baggie. That just ain't cool, bring your wife a wedding ring in a baggie. Amen. So anyway, we have to work at it. Every day that we live, if we're going to leave behind the right kind of memory and leave the right kind of memorial, it's something that we're going to have to be dedicated to and something that we are going to have to work at. Amen. Dedication, that's something you don't see much anymore. You don't see many people that are dedicated to doing anything right.
I remember when I was a kid growing up, you used to hear testimonies in the church, Brother John, all the time. You probably heard this back when you was young, back in the 1800s, probably. But you probably remember people getting, you know, we see people get saved all the time. And that's a great thing. But I remember people getting on the altar and praying, and they'd get up, and here's what they'd say. I rededicated my life to the Lord. I rededicated my life to the Lord. Let me say, you cannot get re-saved, but you can re-up. Amen. You can rededicate your life. In other words, that's saying, Lord, I hadn't been doing what I ought to be doing, but Lord, starting today, I'm going to give some dedication to doing right. I'm going to be dedicated to loving my family. I'm going to be dedicated to being a good husband. I'm going to be dedicated to being a good father. I'm going to be dedicated. Are you listening? I'm going to be dedicated to reading my Bible. I'm going to be dedicated to praying, talking to God. I'm going to be dedicated to witness. I'm going to be dedicated to my church. When the doors is open, if at all possible, I'm going to be there. Amen. Man, wouldn't it be an honor if somebody walked by your casket or by your grave marker and say, now that was a Christian. That man, that lady, was a Christian. But what an honor. It's not what you call yourself. It's what others call you. When you're dead. Amen. When you die, the truth comes out. Your family will stand around your grave and cry. But there may be somebody that says, yeah, I worked for that sucker. They listen to the preacher preach. I've been in funerals where the preacher is preaching about what a good guy somebody was, and here's somebody snicker in the back. Yeah. See, there's people who know. We can stand over your casket and talk about how wonderful you were. Yeah. But there's probably going to be some people there be going, uh-huh, yeah, right. Right. All you saw was Sunday. Yeah. I got him Monday through Friday. Whether we realize it or not, we're preaching. We're writing our own epitaph. Amen. It takes dedication. It takes work. It takes desire. It takes desire. It takes a strong will. Not only work, but a will, a strong desire. It took work. He said, get you 12 stone. He didn't say get little rocks that you can carry in your pocket. Big stone, put on your shoulder. It took dedication. It took work. It took desire. He had to have a will. What was his desire? I want people to remember what God did here today. I have a desire for people to remember what God did here today. I've got a video on my phone, and I've watched it two or three times this week. Brother Stacy sent it to me. Last Sunday night, Brother Sean baptized his son. His mama sat back there and cried like a baby. She told me, she said, I'd never dream I'd see him do anything like that. Yeah. Brother Stacy sent me that video. And when Sean put that boy under the water, when he come up, you can't see it because Stacy's up there video, but you can hear it. This place come undone. Yeah. I mean, y'all was shouting. And I don't want anybody to ever forget that. I don't want anybody to ever forget that. How do we keep from forgetting it? Hey, we got to have a desire for this place to never change, to always rejoice, to always worship, and to always praise God for what God does. Don't let it die. Don't let it die. Amen. One of these days, one of our kids may visit one of these modern churches, and they may come back and say, Mama, why come we have songbooks? Mama, why come we don't have a band? Why don't we have a stage that goes up and down? Why don't we have black lights and smoke? Why don't we have somebody that looks like Justin Bieber and sings like Justin Bieber but has Christian words to it? Why don't we have that? Die on me now. If we're going to stay by the old stuff, we're going to have a desire to do so. Because this world will certainly push us in a wrong direction. Amen. I got out of the truck this morning. My mother's been
cleaning up her basement, and I went over yesterday and she gave me two bar stools. I said, what are these for? She said, they're for the kitchen at church when they cut up that meat and stuff. I said, oh, okay. So I got out of my truck this morning. I forgot who it was. Warren English, I know who it was. I was getting out. Warren was coming across the parking lot, and I had that bar stool in my hand. He said, you better not be planning on preaching off of that. Welcome home, preacher. Amen. Hey, the world would have us go that way. The world would have us get rid of a pulpit. The world would have us get rid of a King James Bible. The world would have us go with the contemporary stuff. Hey, but I'm telling you, I have a desire in my heart. And these men around me, we have a desire in our heart. Happy Valley will be remembered as an old-fashioned gospel-preaching church. Amen. If it's lifestyle evangelism you're hunting, you ain't going to find it here. I'm not going to teach you how to be your bigger, better you. Just keep eating.
Amen.
Amen. I'm not going to be writing no books. Amen. We're just going to preach the gospel. Hey, if we're going to leave behind the right kind of memorial, we're going to have a desire to do so. It's not going to happen, I said, by accident. It's going to happen on purpose. Amen. And to fulfill that will and that desire may mean you have to fight for something. Amen. We won't fight over a whole lot of stuff. A whole lot of stuff ain't worth fighting over. But we'll fight over this book.
Amen.
Amen. We'll fight over this book. By the way, I'll fight over this book.
Yes, sir.
Amen. You know what you ought to do? You ought to go to the Christian bookstore, get online, and order you the hymn stories. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I've got one, it's 101 hymn stories, something like that. And you go through there, and what it does, it tells you the story behind the hymn. Man, that's some of the richest stuff you'll ever read in your life, man. What is the one that was written on the wall of the insane asylum? Yeah, the love of God. The love of God was written on the wall of an insane asylum. Man, you ought to read some of that stuff. Blind Fanny Crosby. You ought to read some of the stories. Man, there's something to these hymns. They're not meant to tap your foot. They're meant to stir your soul and to draw you closer into a relationship with God, to prepare your heart to be ready for the preaching. I don't know how I got off on all this, but I guess I have a desire just to stay by the old stuff. Amen. My desire is not to draw a bigger crowd. My desire is to grow the one we have. Amen. I want to encourage you. I want to transfer my desire to live for God into your heart. Amen. I want to leave behind I want that dash to mean something. Amen. I want a big old dash. Yeah. Honey, make my dash about that long. I want that dash. Couldn't be a dash in there, man. Amen. I want that thing to mean something.
Amen.
But if it's going to mean anything, it's going to take dedication and work. It's going to take desire and a will.
Yeah.
Amen. Do you know what you'll do tomorrow? Look at me. Let me tell you what you're going to do tomorrow. About what you want to. Just about what you want to. Well, I wish I could live for God like so-and-so. You're as close to God as you want to be. You pray as much as you want to pray. You know as much Bible as you want to know. What we need to do is pray that God would increase our desire. Amen. You're not going to read that Bible on purpose. I mean, you know what I mean, by on accident. You're going to read that Bible on purpose.
Amen.
And what we've got to do, I'll be honest with you, half the time I read the Bible, I don't enjoy it.
Yeah, you're right.
But the other half's pretty good.
Yeah.
Amen. Sometimes it's just bad, 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 bad.
Yeah.
So-and-so begat so-and-so, and so-and-so begat so-and-so. And let's skip this part. Amen. Anybody like that besides me? Amen. I have to pray, God, increase my desire for this book. Increase my desire for this book. I get the Western Horseman. It's a quarter horse magazine. I get that thing every month in the mail. I remember putting it down the other day, and I was thinking, Brother Frey, I wish they'd send out two a month. I wish there's more. I would read it cover to cover. I wish there's more. Boy, how many times have you laid your Bible down and went, whew, boy, I wish there's more of that. That's 66 books, just ain't enough. I wish there's seven or eight more. It got quiet, you know? But half the time we read our Bible and we go, phew, I'm done.
You're right.
Come on. Don't be wicked. Don't sit there and, not me, bless God. If that ain't you, you don't read it, period.
Amen.
Amen. Got one more chapter. We read it because it's a duty and not because it's a delight. Honestly, have you ever started reading in Psalms and couldn't quit? You know, you get a psalm a day, and boy, you read that one, you think, boy, that was good. See what the next one said. Because it's just feeding you and strengthening you and encouraging you. Are you listening? Start doing the same thing in Proverbs. Start reading through all that wisdom, man. And you think, boy, I should go ahead and get another chapter of that. And then your old wicked mind will go, yeah, and you won't have to do it tomorrow. Come on. God, increase my desire. Lord, increase my taste for this. Listen, when I was a kid, and I'm almost done, when I was a kid, you could have chased me from here to Douglasville with a bowl of broccoli. What do you call it, boiled? Is it boiled broccoli and cheese? Oh, no, man. You couldn't have pried my mouth open with a claw hammer. I ain't eating that. Looked like a bowl full of snot to me. I wasn't touching it, man. Mm-mm. No! Man, I love that stuff. I eat it like crazy now. Raw broccoli, dip it in that ranch dressing. That's my favorite thing on the vegetable trays, the broccoli. I want them little trees, amen, bite the tops out of them. You know what happened? My taste changed. I developed a taste. Some of us have hot dog and popsicle taste. Amen. We need to pray, God, and mature my taste a little bit. Lord, help me get off the kiddie stuff. God, help me to take some of the meat of the Word of God. Increase my desire. Increase my desire. You know why? I almost backed out of the meeting that I went to this week because I've been going so much. And they had a lot of preachers there. They could have done without me, the way I figured. And the only reason I didn't, the only reason I went to Ohio, of course I saw the Lord had other plans once I got there, but the only reason in my heart I went to Ohio, Brother Freddie, is because I knew I needed it. I knew I needed it. Every year I go to the Fellowship Baptist Church in Lebanon, Ohio. That's home of the Fellowship Tract League. You know what it does? It gives me a desire every time. When I hear those stories, every service, story after story, they read letters of people who have written in, who have received a gospel tract and gotten saved. It'll blow your mind, some of those stories. Can I tell you one right quick? One lady was a drug addict. She had a convertible Mustang. She went to the convenience store to meet a guy to buy drugs. While she was out buying her dope from the guy, Brother Jason, somebody walked by her convertible Mustang and threw a gospel tract in her car, in the seat of her car. She sat down in the car, picked up the gospel tract, and started cussing, wadded it up, and threw it on the ground. While she threw it on the ground, a cop was coming out the door, and he said, "Lady, pick that up, or I'm going to have to write you a ticket." She picked up the gospel tract, wadded it up even more, and threw it in the passenger side floorboard of her car. The next day, she picked her sister up from school. Her sister, on her way home from school, 16 years old, reaches down in the floor and said, "What's this?" She said, "Oh, it's some old preachy thing." And the girl got to reading it. The drug addict sister looked over, and the girl's crying. She said, "What's the matter with you?" She said, "I just did what this paper said. I just trusted Jesus." She got home, she took the wadded up gospel tract in, shared it with her mother, and her mother got saved. Shared it with her brother, and her brother got saved. Make a long story short, the old dope head that went to buy drugs got saved. Hey man, that encourages me. Amen. Encouraged me to circle a parking lot and find a convertible. Amen. Man, that encouraged. You know what it does? It increases my desire to give the gospel to others. Amen. Amen.
I don't know if anybody's left tracks in the new hospital yet. I got to go see the new hospital yesterday. There's some tracks in there now.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. But I needed that. I needed that encouragement. Amen. I needed that desire. I know I'm supposed to do it.
Yeah.
I know I'm supposed to do it. That's one thing. That's one reason you ought to come to church. Get around people who are enjoying doing it. It'll make you want to do it.
Amen.
Amen. If we're going to leave the right kind of memorial, it's going to take dedication and work. It's going to take desire and a will. And then lastly, it's going to take dependability. It's going to take dependability. We noticed Joshua's dependability and his way. We saw his work. We saw his will. We saw his way. They wasn't afraid of hard work. They were dependable. They were dependable. Let me say it again. They were dependable. Moreover, the Bible said it is required in stewards that a man be found. Anybody know the word?
Faithful.
You know what that means? It means dependable. Can God count on you? Can God count on you? What if God could at least count on you like your boss can? You say, well, I get paid on my job. It pays to serve Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. It pays to serve Jesus. Do you know when I need a job done already, and I was going to ask for volunteers tonight, I'm going to go ahead and throw it out right now. It has been brought to my attention that Sister Melissa and Miss Candace have retired from the trunk or treat. That's a big job. I need a couple of ladies. Amen. And when I start, when Sister Amanda emailed me and asked me, did I know somebody that might be interested, you know what my mind first thinks of? Who's here? Who's dependable enough to say, hey, could you do this job? Amen. What do you think God does when he wants something done? It's not always the educated he chooses, Brother Fred. It's not always those with the best of ability. It's those that are there. It's not the ability God's looking for. It's the availability. Amen. But I'd like to know God look down from heaven and say, I can count on that boy right there. Whatever needs done, we can count on that guy right there. He'll do it. He'll do it. Years ago, and I'm done preaching, Brother Todd, if y'all want to come and get us a song. Years ago, we were still in our old building. Or maybe we'd just moved here. I can't remember. But I was talking on the phone with Brother Johnny Bone, dear friend of mine. And Brother Johnny was going on and on and on about how God was using me. And how amazed he was at my life and the ministry. He knew me before I was a preacher. And I began to weep because it just humbled me. And I said, Brother Johnny, why in the world would God use somebody like me? And he laughed. He said, you know what? I've thought that same thing over and over. Because see, he's a pastor too, struggling. He said, I've thought the same thing. Why in the world would you use him? He said, the Lord gave me an answer. And boy, I'm ready for a deep doctrinal thing, why God's using me. I said, why is it, Brother John? Why would God use somebody like me? He said, you crazy enough to do whatever he wants you to. That's the first time anybody ever complimented me on being crazy. Hallelujah, if that's what it takes, count me in. Let me ask you something. What's in your dash? If your headstone were to be carved today, what does your dash represent? I'm glad God gives us mercy. God gives us grace. We've got an opportunity to do better tomorrow. But it's going to be by a decision, dedication. There better be a desire in our heart. If we're going to do better, we've got to want to do better. Amen. I've never seen anybody quit smoking because they didn't want to. They had to have a desire. If we're going to live for God, if we're going to do anything, if we're going to make our life count for something, we're going to have a desire in our heart to do so. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I know it wasn't really a salvation type of message this morning, but I will.